Thank you very much. I am Rick Zartman. I'm the chair of Plant and Soil Science Department. My co-author is Sukant Misra, who is the associate dean for research of CASNR, the College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources. Texas Tech University has a Spanish Renaissance flair, and we have clay tiles on all of the buildings, or at least most of the buildings on Tech campus. I teach an introductory soils class, and one of the things I talk about is kaolinite clay, and here's the example that they have on the Tech campus with the clay tile roof. While Texas Tech is not a land-grant institution, I don't want you to think it is a small institution. This fall, we have over 32,000 undergraduates on campus. There are 11 colleges. College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources, or CASNR, is one of those 11, along with architecture, arts and sciences, business administration, education, engineering, Honors College, Human Sciences, Mass Communication, Visual and Performing Arts, and the University College. Those are all the undergraduate ones. And then we also have the graduate school. Texas Tech University is part of the Texas Tech University system. The Texas Tech University is located in Lubbock, Texas. We also have Angelo State University located in San Angelo. The Tech Law School is in Lubbock. Texas Tech University Health Science Center. One of the unique things about Texas Tech University, it has a medical school in Lubbock and then a medical school in El Paso. El Paso is, as you know, on the border with Mexico, and there's a big border health issue, a lot of pollution, a lot of minorities. And so we have a second medical school in El Paso. Then our pharmacy school is in Amarillo. Here's just a generic slide indicating the college. This happens to be one side of our building. CASNR, Science and Education for Daily Living. Educating Tomorrow's Leaders, Conducting Basic and Applied Research and Outreach and Service. While we are not a land-grant institution, one of the things that we do have is outreach and service. Part of it is with J. Roy Moore, who's in the back for the Lubbock Experiment Station. And David mentioned earlier about our collaboration with Texas A&M and our joint faculty. We talk about our college. Sustainable and production systems is one of the big things. We're on the Southern High Plains. We're mining the Ogallala Aquifer. It is a non-recharged aquifer, and so we're running out of water. Texas Tech is on that leading edge of that. If you look at what's happening in Lubbock today, and as you go farther north, as you go north through the high plains, they are going to run out of water, and so we really want to be at that leading forefront edge on how we transition from irrigated management, row crop agriculture, probably overwatered row crop agriculture, to non-irrigated agriculture and transitions. We have a large animal and plant production related issues. We have a large feedlot industry. The feedlots are just north of Lubbock. Natural resource management and conservation. It used to be our old range department. They've morphed their name and looked more at natural resources. Have a big agricultural business, marketing, and policy. Ag economics or applied and agriculture economics is a big issue. And one of the big issues that they're looking at is how we manage the water. Do we use all of the water right now? Do we try to save some of that water for future generations? There are different regions in the state, and what we're trying to do is say that for our region, which is Region O, that we will have half of the irrigation water available 50 years from now. So we're not going to use all the water initially. We have a landscape architecture, and they look at urban, rural land use issues. Please understand, when you talk about irrigated agriculture, if you look at the cities, they use a lot more water. Typical cities use twice as much water per day in the summertime to irrigate lawns as they do the agriculture. And so they do a lot of things that way. Wildlife and fisheries, ecology and management, agricultural education, food, agricultural education and communications, food technology and safety. One of the big issues, both in my lab and one of the animal science lab, is foodborne pathogens and toxins and how we protect the food source. And we have scholarship activity affecting daily life in all of these to educate the leaders. One of the things that Texas Tech tries to be committed to is excellence in education, research, and creative activity, outreach and engagement in the agricultural sciences and natural resources. One of the things that we cannot do in Texas, where it's becoming very urbanized, and as our region becomes depopulated, is lose contact with our political base. We have national and international recognition of education scholarship among peer institutions. If you talk about the land-grant institutions, and Texas Tech being a non-land-grant, we're in the middle segment of all of those land-grant institutions. Our undergraduate enrollment is 1509 in our college, 365 graduate students, and that's for this fall, for a total enrollment of 1847. Represents about 55% in PhD research students over fall of 07, 17% in undergraduate over fall of 07. It turns out that when we talk about how Texas Tech is growing, the College of Engineering and the College of Agriculture have been the two big growth departments, or big growth colleges within the university. High graduation, high retention rate. And we like to brag about the 86 national championships. Please understand, it's not football and it's not basketball. When you talk about meat judging and you talk about soil judging and things like that, that's where we get our national champions. Excellent faculty with unmatched commitment. What that means is we're just all overworked when it means unmatched commitment. Teaching workloads, 1.9 courses per total FTE in fall 2010. Policy workload, 22.25 per FTE, 74% with sponsored research funding, heavily outreach, faculty advising of students. One thing at Texas Tech University, most colleges have staff people advising their undergraduates. In the College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resource at Tech, faculty do the advising. We think that this gives a better advising opportunity to our students. We get to know them more. We give them better choices. We have good job placement. So we think that this advising is a good method. We have 18 endowed professorships and chairs. One thing nice about Texas Tech University, it has historically been strong in teaching. If you're strong in teaching and you have great undergraduates, C students who go out and make the fortunes then come back and endow the professorships. We have much better endowed professors than most of the land-grant colleges because we've educated the good undergraduates, the ones that go out, the entrepreneurial ones that go out and make the fortunes and then endow the professorships and chairs. We have a teaching academy on campus which recognizes outstanding teachers. 27% of our faculty members are part of that teaching academy. Teaching is one of our big thrusts, and we do a good job of it. We've had over 51 university awards by faculty and staff, and 16% of our faculty are fellows in national societies. The College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources offer 12 different bachelor's degrees, 15 master's, and 7 PhD programs. If you look at this, we have 6 departments, and so we have multiple BS degrees and master's degrees with each department. One department, landscape architecture, does not have a PhD program because they don't offer that degree, but all of the other departments within CASNR does in fact have at least one PhD program. Four graduate, one undergraduate degree program. In distance, we talked yesterday about some distance problems or distance education. One of our big growth areas has been in distance education. If you talk about the one undergraduate degree program that's distance, it is in our horticulture. It is one of the two that our university offers. It is a big growth area. As department chair, if it were not for our growth in distance education students, we would be in a world of hurt. Our big growth area is in distance education for place-bound students who need that little bit of education to move up in their job or to have a certificate so that they can show off what they do know. 61 distance courses, 5 certificate programs, and we're a charter member of Ag Idea. Ag Idea is housed currently at Kansas State University. A lot of the schools are plugged into that. We interchange courses. We have accreditation of other people's courses. And so our distance courses are part of this Ag Idea. We have a highly effective internship program, congressional legislative intern, both in Washington, D.C. and Austin, and in private industries. Most of our students come from the urban areas in Texas. They do not have the rural experience. They do not have real-world opportunities to learn. Someone was talking about a biotechnologist hooking up a corn planter or something like that. We have a lot of our students that really don't have that practical tractor driving ability or knowing how to do that. We use the internship so they do that. In Texas, we're very xenophobic. If you think it's hard to get outside of Texas, it's really for our undergraduates. When they think of an internship, they think of an internship within Texas. They do not want to leave the state. And so we're really trying very, very hard to get our internship so that they leave the state. Please understand that if you're a true Texan, we are still a separate entity. We're still a separate nation, and it's hard to get outside the nation of Texas. We do have formal study abroads in China, Mexico, Brazil, Costa Rica, the Czech Republic. We have in our department a Gardens of Europe tour every year that we take undergraduates and other people from the community to go look at Gardens of Europe. It's a very, very popular course. If the students write up a paper for that, they get internship credit for it, the Rural Agriculture College, and then we've had students go to the Yucatan Peninsula for sort of an ecotourism-type opportunity. We have 14.6 total research, which is an increase of 31% over 2005. 140,000 sponsored funding for total faculty FTE, 190 total funding for tenure track faculty and tenure track faculty. If you look at this demographic for the different colleges, you'll see CASNR here is high in sponsored projects, and you know, as engineering is high in sponsored projects, we are the two big ones that generate research. One of the unfortunate things is that you've talked about USDA. USDA does not fund full F&A, and so when the vice president for research looks at ours, he looks at these numbers and then sort of discounts it to some degree because with the F&A that USDA funds versus College of Engineering, which gets the full tax on it, we don't come out quite that high. We use the total numbers. The Vice President for Research uses F&A generated. We have a high leverage rate, 5.6-1, for state-sponsored research. Being a non-land institution, we get special line items from the state of Texas, and this is that leverage ratio of dollars we generate divided by the line items. We took a 25% hit in our line items this year, and so that's really going to hurt our total dollars, but it's going to help our leverage rate value go up. We are, the majority of our projects are multidisciplinary in nature. One of my big research is with the Environmental Toxicology Group for Department of Defense funding. We do a lot of work with Department of Transportation. We do a lot of work with the state of Texas and the Texas Highway Department. Current research areas, again, sustainable agriculture. This is where we're going to have to be focused. How we grow our programs is in sustainable. The current agriculture, where it is 50% irrigated and 50% dry land, is not sustainable when we talk about a mined resource of the Ogallala Aquifer. Biotechnology and genomics, our department has a good corporate partner that is very well funding part of the research in that area. Food safety, security and quality, processing and value-added products, natural resource management and planning, agriculture, marketing, trade and policy, all are current and key research areas for the college. If you talk about areas of research, if you look at cotton, if you look at textiles, enology, sorghum, forage, turf, viticulture, all of those are housed within plant and soil science in our department. Increased emphasis on physical responsibility and accountability. As the budget decreases, you have to really watch how each dollar is spent. We have a good office of alumni relationship with four full-time people to go out and try to generate funds. Total endowment for the college is $37 million. 36% of our students receive scholarships. We are the envy of the colleges at Texas Tech University with the amount and emphasis that we have on scholarships given to our students. And total $1.8 million in scholarships. We talked about the challenge for 2011-12 and beyond in advanced scholarship, teaching, research, service, outreach, and stewardship. We need to improve our teaching. Please understand, the world becomes much more flat. We're in competition not only with Texas A&M and New Mexico State and Oklahoma State that you heard previously, but we're also in competition with China, with India, especially with Brazil. And so we have to do a better job of educating our students. Research, top quality projects, publications, students, we have to emphasize that. One of the, probably the knocks on Texas Tech University, it has been perceived as a regional institution. We need to do better top quality research. Service and outreach, we're non-land grant. That's not part of our mission. We don't get paid to do that, but we need to keep the stakeholders in mind as we do it. And stewardship, we need to use the financial resources that we have more effectively. As Thomas Edison said, there's no substitute for hard work. I think as we have these budget challenges, we're all going to have to work harder and smarter. I don't think that working hard is the sole answer. We have to work smarter. We have to be able to do a better job with the time and resources that we have. If we talk about the Department of Plant and Soil Science, we have an existing building. We're looking right now at a $15 million expansion. We hope to break ground on that in June of next year. The Department of Plant and Soil Science is a very interdisciplinary department. As we had a department chairs meeting yesterday, we talked about every department's a little bit different. Ours is different than most. We have crop science, soil science. We have a strong fiber and biopolymer science group, horticulture and turfgrass, plant protection. David mentioned earlier about our joint appointments. When you talk about our crop science, when you talk about our plant protection especially, and one of our faculty members as joint in the fiber and biopolymer. We need their teaching expertise. We combine with them. We build on that joint relationship for good synergism. Cotton is king, but we do other things, soils, plants, and finally, we look at the fiber. When you talk about cotton being king in West Texas, it drives the economy. 65% of the West Texas economy is driven by cotton. And so cotton is important both at the production level and then at the fiber level. We have an excellent group that's looking at cellulose in cotton and how we can modify that. I tell my introductory class, we are the leading world in cellulose production and how that cellulose can be used. The mission of the department is to improve plants for human use, increase knowledge about our environment, enhance sustainable practices in plant production, value-added processing through education, research, and outreach. One thing I did not mention when I was talking about earlier, one of our value-added is we have a viticulture and enology program, changing grapes into wine as part of that value-added. Our goals, be leaders in transition from irrigated row crop to sustainable production system with decreasing reliance on irrigation. We are at the southern edge of the southern high plains on the mined aquifer of the Ogallala. We need to use that water responsibly. Be leaders in renewable resources for green chemistry. Be leaders in distance education in the area of plant and soil science. We have 10 joint appointments in my department with Texas AgriLife Research. We have 2 joint appointments in my department with Texas AgriLife Extension. Those are vital to our department. Probably half of my faculty members are joint appointees. Only about a third of my FTEs are joint appointees, but about half of my faculty members are. Be leaders in transition to irrigated row crops to sustainable production system. What resource is more important in survival than oil? It's water. We've gone through a drought this year. When ranchers had cattle that they couldn't feed, they worried about selling them, and they worried about buying feed. But when those ranchers and farmers ran out of water for the cattle, they had to sell them. So water is literally more important. As a soil scientist, I think you need to put a word, letter S in front of the oil. I think soil is the most important. We have the Ogallala Aquifer is declining in water in Lake Meredith. Lake Meredith is where we get our water. 11 cities in the Southern High Plains do. We have climatic temperatures rising, resulting in regional population decline and regional economic decline. Here's the Ogallala Aquifer. You can't see this, but this is the way it was in 2004. Here's the change in it, and the more yellow is the decrease of very saturated thickness. We're running out of groundwater. Here is Lake Meredith. It went down to 0% full in May, and it has stayed that way. This is where we use the water for Lubbock. We are now totally dependent on well water for Bailey County and other counties. Population decline. If you talk about the population in the state of Texas, we see a big concentration of population in what we call the I-35 corridor. I-35 goes through San Antonio. If you take a belt of 50 to 100 miles east and west of that, you'll find most of the population in the state of Texas. There is as much population in Houston there's as much population in Houston as there is west of I-35. So if you put a line down through here, and you look at all the population here, The population is just equal to what it is in Houston. We're losing our political clout. And so this is one of the things that we need to be concerned about. The 600-pound gorilla is water wars in Texas, rural versus urban. We need to be on the winning side of that. The implication, as water decrease, rural populations decrease, decrease in people needed to produce dry land agriculture versus irrigation, less people to move service irrigation conveyances, less seed planted, less production, which implies truckers and ginners. We are being depopulated. Less support people, teachers, fire, police, medical, less taxes, regional downward spiral. It is incumbent upon our college to do a better job of supporting the demographics of our region. The current irrigated agricultural practices are not sustainable. You can stick your head in the sand and think that we're going to be the same way 5 years from now and 10 years from now, but it's not going to be. Other agricultural, non-row crop agriculture activities are going to be envisioned. We need to devote more time to faculty money to climatologically related changes and factors. We need to more fully engage in our current partners and seek additional ones. One of the big things, we have a SARE grant transition from cotton to cattle production or mixed feed. Here's our irrigated farm on campus. Be leaders in the use of renewable resources. Again, we're a big cotton region. We're a big cellulose region. We need to do a better job on how we evaluate and make use of that cellulose. We have our fiber and biopolymer research institute, where we literally take cotton fibers and put the value added in it. We have spinning mills that tie in with that. We have greenhouses that help grow that crop. And then be leaders in distance education in the area of plant and soil science. Texas Tech University is a member of the Ag Idea program. We have memorandum of agreements in horticulture, landscape management, and a new one that's getting developed, soil, water, and environmental sciences. Now, we do have occasionally rains, and we have no rivers in our area. We have what we call playa lakes. They're basins, and they do flood. This happens to be one of our playa lakes, and this poor little mouse got caught in that inundation and got hung up on one of the brush that was still there. Any questions about our program?
I'm curious, you discussed it well, the water leaving and those issues. You also discussed earlier that you had to prepare for more dry land and the water more. Which way are you going?
This year, we've had about 3 inches of rain so far for the year. This is a total loss of our dry land crop. Not even in the 30s and 50s did we do that. Now, there is going to be a transition from irrigated agriculture to dry land. The question is, what happens? Is it going to go dry land? Are we going to be sort of that dust bowl era? Or are we going to go to more forages, more integrated management situation? One of the things that really frustrates me is that if you own the land in Texas, you own the water. And while I would think that you would want to be good steward of that resource, what's happening right now is what they call the law of the big straw. The people who have the wells are sucking that water up as fast as they can, and they're looking only at short-term survival rather than regional growth. We're going to have to face this issue of we're running out of water, and we have to transition into some other agriculture. How we do that, I don't really know, but we're going to have to face that issue. We're going to have to come up with methods to use the land. If we did not have the CRP land this year, we would have blowing dust just like the Dust Bowl. And so how we go to that transition, I don't know. But we need to think about that, and we need to plan for that.
Rick, you mentioned sustainable built in law, which is wonderful. But you mentioned biofuels.
Well,
is there much research in biofuels, or are those two?
We really don't do that much. We don't get enough rainfall to get the big biomass, switchgrass, that. I think they've done a little bit with sweet sorghum, but very, very little. We just don't get the rainfall for that. They are talking about some of the cellulosic conversions, but we're really not looking at biomass. We just don't get the rainfall to get the biomass to really generate that way. What we have to do is we have to generate 9 hours per semester. That is designated by the provost for a full-time load. But we do so much distance education that is sort of overload. And one of the big problems we have is that we have a lot of teachers who are teaching a lot of distance classes that have really heavy teaching loads, and we've not addressed how we compensate that faculty member for that. And so right now the teaching load has been an add-on, but we've not really come up with a good compensation for that. But if you look at how many hours we teach, by teaching a live section, by teaching a distance section, that doubles it. A lot of our classes are taught both by the same faculty member at both the undergraduate and graduate level, and so we have very, very high teaching loads.